Morning, everyone, or afternoon, I guess it is. See, would you? It's a beautiful Sabbath day. It's always beautiful on the Sabbath, but it's extra nice when it's sunny out. Flowers are peeking through with all those nice colors. Welcome again to everyone here visiting with us. Monday, April 15th, 2013. Started out a normal day with many different types of expectations. It was a pleasant day with excitement and great anticipation of what the day would hold. And in Boston, it was the day that would start yet another highly prized event, the respected event of the 117th running of the Boston Marathon. Thousands of spectators and fans would crowd the streets to cheer and show support for the runners of this great race, the race that marks milestones for the many different kinds of challenges and for the accomplishments that would be heard around the world. The race was in its concluding moments with the runners starting to cross the finish line and the family and friends and fans of the marathon were standing, cheering and smiling and celebrating, but then suddenly everything changed. A bomb was detonated, and hundreds of people fell. And then another bomb was detonated, and even more people fell, dead and injured, turning a celebration into fear and chaos. As the streets were quickly changed into crime scenes, and emergency personnel started the grueling task of attending to the injured, the horrific discovery of the youngest victim of that bombing that was killed was made. 8-year-old Martin Richard, laid in the streets near the finish line, severely injured, and later pronounced dead. The young boy Martin became quickly known because of a picture that went viral on Facebook just minutes after the pronouncing of his death. The picture was of Martin in a school holding a poster that he just made a few days before with a smile on his face. The poster read, "No more hurting people. Peace." It's heart-wrenching to see a picture of a young child holding up a poster, pleading with all who would read it to quit hurting other people and to be at peace. And to know that just a few days later, he was killed by the very act of incredible violence that he desired would no longer be. In the sorrow and aftermath of that incredibly sad tragedy, the question now being asked is, how do we stop people from hurting people and create a place where peace is an achievable reality? For us sitting here today, we know the answer to this question, don't we? We know where to go to find that peace. But sadly, the world doesn't. This morning, in the few minutes that we have, let's quickly look and review man's view of what peace is and how he wants to achieve it. And then look and compare it to what God tells us about his peace and plan for what peace is. Ask a person this day, an age to define peace and how you achieve it, and you'll get answers that will vary by religion, culture, or subject study. And one idea of how we are, meaning man, achieve peace, I found this answer. Clearly, religions will play no role in achieving peace. Your ability to achieve peace depends on your own capabilities. That is incredibly off the mark. And then there's this one. Peace could possibly be achieved if all people on earth became non-judgmental towards others and accepted each other as equals. In addition, everyone's spiritual beliefs should be respected, whether he or she chooses to believe in a higher power or not. It was stated that believing in a higher power in itself does not guarantee peace, because more people have been murdered in the name of God than any other reason for thousands of years. Another idea. Peace is a state of balance and understanding in yourself. Note yourself and in others, where respect is gained by the acceptable differences and tolerance exists and people's rights are respected and their voices are heard. And lastly, we have man's attempt of forcing peace through wars and conflicts. For hundreds of years, we've been trying to acquire peace in many different ways and have justified their actions in war, conflict, and senseless killing in the name of peace. There are many more, but I've just shared here a few ideas of what the world has, their views for the way of finding or achieving peace. God shows us that peace will never be attained through war and conflict. Satan has deceived man into thinking these ideas for achieving peace as being good ideas. There are only choices. But in reality, they are selfish ideas. And their paths lead to more conflict and troubles when pursued. Satan's form of government and his formula for peace is destructive, it's vain, and it's arrogant. Satan's way will not work ever. You don't have to turn there, but in Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21, it says this. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up myrrh and dirt. And then verse 21, there is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Wicked ways, they won't produce peace in any way, ever. Man's rebellion will only bring trouble. And whether man acknowledges God or not, God is the one who rules over what happens to our lives. Peace will only be attained through the understanding of God's word. There will never be peace for those who do not desire to live righteously. Let's take a look at what Christ said before he was to be violently crucified. In the last few things he was telling his disciples, and ultimately he's saying the same thing to us. Let's turn to John 14. John 14, and we'll read verses 25 through 27. John 14, and we'll start reading in verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. And 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. And then verse 27, where I really want the focus to be, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Here Christ has given us comfort and encouragement. The understanding of his peace, the kind of peace that calms troubled and fearful hearts, the kind of peace that we can have from having his Holy Spirit, a kind of peace different from the way of this world. What would be your answer if you were asked, what is peace? How can we achieve it? Think about your answer as we consider what peace is and what it'll be like. Is it the absence of war? Is it the absence of conflicts? Is it the absence of violence? Is it finding harmony with the world? True peace is a state of mind. It's the willingness to accept God's will over human nature. It's a change in the way that we think. True peace comes from God, not from any of man's ideas, but from the understanding and keeping of God's law. It's not enough just to know God's word. We have to practice it. We have to trust it. And we have to truly live by it. True peace is surrendering our will to God. I have just one point for us today on how peace will be able to be achieved, and that is we must change the way we think. We must change the way we think. For us to have God's peace, for the world to have God's peace, we have to stop trying to force situations to come out our way. We have to stop forcing our will and seek God's will. We have to change the way we think. We have this understanding and opportunity now to help us accomplish this, whereas the world will have their understanding of this later. This doesn't come naturally to us, because deep within us is our human nature battling God's will. It's not us that creates peace, but God that grants us peace through love and the keeping of His law. This is why the world fails at creating peace. Even with seemingly noble efforts, peace cannot be achieved without God. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 3:16. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Verse 16 reads, "Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always and in every way. The Lord be with you all." In order for us to be at peace, we have to ask and pray always for God to grant us His peace. He's the provider of it. And as the Scripture says that we just read, always and in every way. The majority of this world's mindset lacks this way of thinking. They want to accomplish peace themselves through their own ways, leaving God out of the picture. There's only one way to peace that can be achieved. God. It's the only way. I'd like to turn now to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and read verse 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. And it reads, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes you to stumble." Although we must pray for God's peace, it also takes effort on our part. Human nature does not naturally love God's way. This goes back to my points that we have to change the way we think. We have to make a conscious effort to give up our human nature once and meditate on God's law and His righteousness. Turn with me, please, to Philippians 4, and we'll read verses 6 through 9. These few scriptures have been used many times in the last several months, but it gives us some good instruction here. Philippians 4, verses 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Don't be stressed out. Verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He's going to protect us. And then verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And then verse 9, "The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Once again, we see here that we need to pray and ask for peace. It is a gift from God, after all. and we're given a list of things to meditate on that will help us be in the correct mindset to acquire that peace. The things that we find here in verse 8 gives us guidance and help to change the way we think. The world doesn't want to accept it now, but it is only through God that true peace will be achieved. I found a quote I'd like to read to you. I liked it really well. Never heard of the man, but it was made in the 1700s by Edmund Swedenborg. It says, "Peace holds within itself trust in the Lord, the trust that He governs all things and provides all things, and that He leads towards an end that is good." I wonder if he was called. 8-year-old Martin Richter, days before his death, held a sign that said, "Stop hurting people. Peace." This was his plea for the world to be different. We live in a very violent world. The bombing of the Boston Marathon, where Martin was killed, was motivated by selfish ideas. Until the world changes the way it thinks and has the mindset of God, these things are going to continue to happen. There is a time coming soon where Martin's desire for people to stop hurting each other for real peace is going to be a reality. As we start to wrap things up, let's turn to Revelation 21 and read verse 4. Revelation 21, 4. And we'll begin to get a glimpse of what the real time of God's peace will be like. Revelation 21, verse 4 reads, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Well, that was the King James Version. I'd like to read this again in the Amplified Version. And it reads, God will wipe away every tear away from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be anguish or sorrow or mourning or grief nor pain any more. For the old conditions and the former order of things are passed away. Man's ways, the old ways, the ways that do not lead to peace, they won't exist anymore. And then in Isaiah 2, verse 4, and I'll just read it for you. Isaiah 2, 4 says, "Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war no more." And for my last scripture, turn with me to Isaiah 11, and we'll read 6 through 9. Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. Isaiah 11, 6. "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lay down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child will play at the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den." In verse 9, "They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." How exciting a time this will be. Brethren, we have opportunity to be a big part of that. Let's think about that. Throughout the Bible, the Old and New Testament, we find promises of God's kingdom, of being restored, and of a time of righteousness where righteousness will prevail, allowing for the existence of true peace. When Christ rules and reigns on this earth, it will be a time of abundance peace such as the earth has never experienced. Have a great Sabbath.